Hello and welcome to episode 291 of the PC Gamer Podcast. Today is Thursday, October 6, 2011, and I am your auditory nemesis, Gavin the Predator Townsley. I'm joined today by my supreme overlords, Chris the HAL 9000 Comiskey, Managing Editor.
Hello, my baby! Hello, my honey! Hello, my ragtime gal!
Senior Editor Evan Pennywise Lottie.
That really did it for me, Chris.
Thanks, man.
Did you just call him Senior Evader?
Evader.
Evidently.
Reviews Editor Dan the Rancor Stapleton.
Rancor? Really? I get killed by a bone.
I'll be the guy that cries for you.
The bone doesn't kill you.
Well, you know, effectively.
And my fellow intern, Lucas the 50-foot woman, Sullivan.
Only in my wildest dreams.
Those nicknames make absolutely no sense.
They are scary things to me.
That's it.
All right. Well, welcome, guys. It's been an interesting week in games. We have a couple things to talk about. Rage release, some PC Digital hats. Yeah. Yes.
I was agreeing with you.
Yes. Oh, all right. Neverwinter MMO and Orcs Must Die.
No.
Along
no,
with
I'm
some other fun shenanigans. So
tidbits.
Let's start off with the Rage release. It came out... Chris, you've played it. The rest of us have watched. Footage.
Actually, I think Dan's played it too.
I played it. Yeah.
He's probably played a little bit more than I have, actually.
No, I think you're probably a little further than me. No, you are.
I have not had the chance to jump into it myself, but I have heard lots of weird news coming out of this one, so why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, I mean, actually, it's a really fun game if you are playing on an NVIDIA card and don't mind a little bit of texture pop in every half second or so.
Well, I mean, that was at launch. So it came It came out on Tuesday. And when it came out, there were some problems in that id's new fancy mega texture technology.
Id Tech 5.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but the mega texture technology was at kind of the root of this, and particularly with AMD Radeon cards, or at least the ones that there's certain Radeon cards. I'm not sure if it affected all of them. But it sure affected mine in the office, and we're on 5970, I believe, mm-hmm. in the office, it was unplayable because I mean it ran okay, but you would look at in one direction and like the textures would start out really low resolution,
yeah,
and just like super like imagine you turn the detail all the way down, so it would look really crappy, and then if you look at something for a couple seconds, then it would pop in and look good. But then you would look to, you know, look in another direction, you know, turn 90 degrees to the right, and same thing over there, you know, and you have to wait for the texture to pop in. And then you look back to the same place you looked before, and it was a little crappy again. So any time you moved or, you know, looked in a new direction or did anything, it looked crappy for a couple seconds. And you're always moving.
Yeah. Sounds like my old gaming PC.
Yeah. But, well, that's the thing. It wasn't a performance hit. Like, it wasn't like the frame rates were being knocked down. But it seemed like the engine didn't know how to cache the texture memory.
Well, what it turned out to be, apparently, was that there was a problem with AMD cards and OpenGL.
Yeah.
And so
that's
apparently,
never happened before. Yeah.
No. Nah.
And, you know, id loves OpenGL, so all this is in OpenGL as opposed to DirectX. So it was resolved pretty quickly. It was resolved within 24 hours. AMD put out a new driver and fixed the problem.
Fixed it to the point where it's no longer even noticeable? Because on my 590 at home, it's still there. Like, it's
well,
it's
that's
brief.
On, that's on NVIDIA, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are new NVIDIA beta drivers that you can
I've got those.
On? Okay.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I have an NVIDIA card at home as well. I'm on a GTX 570. I find that I notice it if I look for it. Other than that, it's just kind of maybe a hint of it there, but I mean it's almost like an effect like just, you know, you spin your head really fast and like your eyes have to refocus.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother me. It's almost kind of cool that you know if you think of it like that it's like, oh, my eyes are refocusing.
Again,
it's not a bug. It's a feature. <approach. laughs>
Well, I mean, you know, like it is not inherently bothersome to me. At this, you know, very quick level of texture popping.
It irritates me a little just because, again, I have a very expensive card, a very high-end system. It's like having that high-end system shouldn't happen. You know what I mean? It's like if I had a low-end system that happened, okay, because there's a trade-off. But when you've got, like, top-end hardware, it's just like it wasn't optimized at all.
Well, I think this is just a different technology than we are used to. And it supposedly allows them to do things with textures that make them look better, though thus far the textures don't seem to look that much better.
No, I thought mega texturing was not that so much it was like remember when he ran it on the iPhone during that keynote?
Right.
I thought mega texturing was like it was a way to compress it and make it like still look good but not require the power that you needed normally.
My understanding is it allows them to have much bigger textures than you would otherwise be able to. So it's kind of a texture streaming technology, and this is again, you know, what as I understand
yeah.
it, I am no John Carmack, but when I was at ID playing it for a preview, what they were doing was and by the way, when I was playing there, I never noticed any kind of pop in.
Yeah.
So you know who knows what driver tweaks they were running, but while I was playing. They had guys on the next floor down in the building stamping stuff on textures, you know, just adding character to the textures. And that was being streamed live into the game I was playing.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So as they were modifying stuff, I could watch it and it would get updated.
Huh.
So that was kind of cool. They're not actually doing that on the stuff we're playing now. But, I think, you know, largely at this point, if you buy the game now and play it, you probably won't notice any problem if your drivers are updated.
And, you know, it's a fun game. Like, it's addicting. Like, I've been really enjoying it. Actually, I've been, again, I was telling you guys later, I guess it was yesterday, like, I've kind of stopped playing Deus Ex and started playing Rage. So it's a fun game. Like, you know, it has its issues. Like, you were talking about the invisible walls, which is like, yeah, come on.
There are a couple of invisible walls I've run into. And like, I find that like one thing that's kind of annoying is just not being able to jump over most obstacles.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, whenever my you know superhero character runs across an obstacle that I could personally surmount if I were actually there, it's like yeah, I could jump over that, and I can't even jump very high. But
so what's really enjoyable about it? I mean, I've heard there's been some journalists more than others have been like hyper critical of Rage on Twitter, saying that like it has no reason to exist, and saying that's just like. Well, it's kind of a shame because it makes great engines, and then they have like the obligation of putting a game inside it.
I mean, that to me is kind of obnoxious.
Sure, I agree. I'm curious, like, what is good about the game?
So like, what's fun? I would say it knows their shooters first and foremost. They know, like, how to make a gun feel like it's got punch. You know, to make that gun feel like it's enjoyable to use. Like, the pistol, even though it's just a pistol, it's unique to look at. I mean, it's fairly powerful. The death animations are absolutely awesome. The way the enemies react to getting shot is just, like, enjoyable. The level design itself is actually pretty cool. The way they kind of do corridors and then they'll do interesting things. Like, I went down one little corridor cliff and I looked up and was like, what the hell is this? There's flies here. I look up and it's like an outhouse, basically. Just little things that are like, oh, God, that's, you know. Like, they know how to make levels. They know how to make shooting not just, like, you know, guy pops up from behind thing. Guy goes back down. It's actually, they do interesting things.
Well, it's not Borderlands and it's not Fallout. No. I think some people might have expected that or been confused.
It's fairly similar to Borderlands, but I think so. In good ways.
Well, single player only, and the enemies are smarter and more. The enemies have more interesting behaviors.
But it's not an open world.
It's not fully open.
There are open areas, but it feels like you're still very sort of confined.
You can go wherever you want within these corridors as long as you know you've opened those paths. You know, by doing quests.
Yeah.
You know, as a shooter, it's enjoyable. One of the things that I wanted to ask you guys about actually is how lethal do you think a headshot from a pistol should be? Because I mean, like for me, when I'm shooting an unarmored guy and I shoot him in the face point blank, I kind of expect him to go down.
Yeah. I mean, you could say it's a mutant and their skeleton is whatever, but using a 9mm, not a 45.
Well, or it's a bear.
Yeah, I mean, even a 9mm, if I shoot somebody in the face with a 9mm, they're going to go down.
Yeah.
And you know, if there is something in the fiction where, you know, that they have that, you know, adamantium skeleton or whatever, then fine, you know, but do me that courtesy.
Yeah, but I've been the same way about, like, we were talking about yesterday. It's like, if you shoot someone in the chest, they're probably going to fall down, too. Shit hurts.
It depends on what kind of armor they're wearing or whatever, you know. And you know, I'm willing to accept that as a gameplay mechanic, that people are going to take more damage to the chest than to the head. But I want to be rewarded for shooting somebody in the head because that's a small moving target and, you know, it takes more skill.
Most of my experience in Rage has been if you get a headshot, like they have a helmet on, like they'll shoot their helmet off. And right, and that kind of makes sense.
Yeah,
like,
that's great. But then you shoot them in the head three more times.
Really? Because I don't know if maybe I'm just not paying, or maybe I'm just a bad shot, yeah. which is probably more likely. But it seems like when I have hit them in the head, they've gone down. But
sometimes they'll fall down and then get back up.
Yeah, they've done that a few times,
which I actually really like. I like that guys go down and get back up. Yeah. But headshots to me are sacred. But
I don't know, man. I think it just depends on the game. Like if it's a realistic shooter like Arma or something, I'm shooting a guy in the head. I expect him. But if it's a game like, I don't know, like a sci-fi game, it doesn't bother me that much.
I mean, it's
much.
Definitely not one size fits all. It's more about the personality of the enemies.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes the most flawed enemies are the most fun.
Yeah.
Like
I mean,
the most flawed AI, you know?
It can be. Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, on the whole, I'm kind of with you, Chris. I think it is a very entertaining shooter.
Yeah.
On the grand scheme of things, it's not great, but it's good.
Yeah, I've been having a lot of fun with it.
What would you say to people who wrote this game off as just another post-apoc? Is it worth looking into, or is it just another post?
Yeah, well, I was one of those people, sadly. I mean, when I first, I was really hypercritical of it when I first saw it. Probably, man, I shouldn't have been, but I guess it was just that reaction. It was like, oh, it's a post-apoc. It's you know, it's Mad Max. Yay, mm-hmm. whatever. But yeah, it's in that setting, and there's not a lot different about it to make that part unique. But the details of it are really, really cool. For example, like one of the, it's like an older medic or someone you get that quest from. She's wearing like glasses. Right. And you know, it's just, you can see like they piece together two older piece of glasses. And mm-hmm. so they have so many fine details in the game like that. Like, it's clearly paid a lot of attention to it. And so I think that's what makes it interesting to me, is they didn't just, like, just throw a whole bunch of stuff in there and be like, oh, yeah, it's post-apocalyptic. They actually put some time and thought into what people are using, what people are wearing, how the vehicles are constructed. It makes it unique for that reason.
I mean, for me, it's just a matter of I don't write off a game because it's a certain setting. I mean, I'm not sick of post-apocalyptic games. Like I love Fallout. I love Borderlands.
And go ahead.
I don't, and like the whole it's brown thing. It's well, so is most things in nature. You know, it's brown because it's representing the real world. I don't have a problem with that. I don't demand that everything be a hyper colorized wonderland of Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. I just want to go through these games and see the sights and shoot things, and if you can't find the joy in just basic shooter gameplay, then no, it's not going to be that remarkable. But it is a very well crafted shooter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right with you, man. So I would recommend it. Like, seriously, I mean, if you like shooters, yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, but if you demand that every game you play be this mind expanding experience,
yeah,
then no, you're not gonna want it.
And oh dear God, it has quick saves. That's pretty awesome these days. So I'm very happy for that.
Although at the same time, what doesn't it have?
It doesn't have any graphics settings, Dan.
Yeah,
although you can adjust AA from 4X to 16X.
Right, which is kind of ridiculous. I mean, it's graphics setting menu looks like Crysis 2's.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
There is
like, what is it? Resolution.
Right.
And then there's one other thing.
There is GPU post processing or whatever,
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah.
Which I guess is one of the reasons that NVIDIA's GPU didn't have as much of a problem with the texture pop-in. But apparently the reason that they don't have any graphics settings is because the game is constantly trying to optimize itself behind the scenes and give you the best graphics for the performance. But we were talking about this earlier, and I think we're all in agreement that it would be great if you want to do that, have that be a setting, let me uncheck that, let me change my own settings.
Such it's like a so Goldilocks solution. These graphics are too hot.
Yeah.
These graphics are too cold. Like, you have no freedom.
Yeah.
You
know?
And it's really shocking.
You don't know what I want.
Communist.
The game doesn't know what I want.
Yeah. It's just shocking to see
yes,
that.
Yes, it does, Evan.
It's shocking to see that out of all studios.
Oh, we are all like, what? Like, wait a minute. Yeah, because they've predominantly been in the past. Like, even in Doom. Like, remember, like, the ultra settings in Doom 3 that you couldn't ever use when the game first came out? Because it was like, we're going to make this, so in 2 years, you can finally, like, boy, that changed.
Well, and Crysis did the same thing.
Yeah,
but and those two studios that did that have now both gone radically the other direction. But that said, it does look a lot better on PC than it does on console.
It's pretty. It's a pretty game. And it actually, you know what? Speaking of, like, I didn't find the colors that drab. I think they actually did a good job of making it colorful despite being a bombed out desert.
Oh, by the way, what do you think about the driving stuff?
So I've gotten the buggy and I've got the four-wheeler, which is basically what you get in the beginning.
Right.
And it's arcadey. It feels good for what it is. I don't like that you can't on the four-wheeler, you can't look around like mouse look.
Right.
That's frustrating. But other than that, it's been enjoyable.
So are you driving with mouse and keyboard, or have you used a gamepad?
No, I'm using mouse and keyboard.
Okay. Yeah, I'm actually tempted to break out a gamepad just for the driving segments.
I did that for GTA when I played in the PC.
Right, because I am finding the steering handling to be very, very severe. Like, I'll go through an entire race. They have, like, side races you can go on to you know, earn upgrades for your car and stuff like that. And they're just purely, you know, combat races. And some are non-combat. But I find that I'll go, like, you know, up until the last lap, and then I'll just kind of spin out and just get absolutely stuck. And, like, the brakes are, like, ridiculously good.
Yeah, if you touch them, it's like, stops.
Yeah, you go like 60 to 0 in half a second. It's pretty obscenely strange driving physics. But, you know, I'm not a big driving game guy, but it seemed weird to me.
Yeah. Well,
I do like that. Back when I was playing for the preview again, they were telling me they're toying with this, weren't sure what was going to make it in the real game. I'm glad that it did. When you kind of crash, especially when you're driving the ATV.
Yeah, your dude goes flying off, like, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, slams against the wall. And it immediately warps you back to right next to your
with no
your
consequences,
vehicle.
Actually.
Yeah, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's really funny. In fact, I nicked, like, the side of, like, a broken bridge or something, and he did, like, 47 somersaults. And he screamed, too. He's like, ah! It's funny.
I feel like a total outsider. I'm one of the only people I know who just doesn't like vehicles in my shooters. I am that guy in Battlefield who runs around on the ground and shoots at tanks, and I just don't enjoy driving them. It doesn't do anything for me. I just want to shoot stuff. That's why I play shooters. I want to be in a racing game. I want to be in a shooter game. And so, I don't know, that aspect of it I feel like was really pushed, and it just, no interest.
So you hate freedom.
Yes, yes.
I just like the variety that it brings to a shooter, because, I mean, after a certain amount of time, you get kind of tired of walking around and shooting things, so being able to just change things up.
Oh, no.
Well, it's something Duke Nukem did.
Yeah.
Not well. Or
Duke Nukem's pacing in that was not spaced out well. They had, like, I'm finding in Rage, they do a much better job of having small segments of driving to break up.
For me, it makes the world feel bigger. Like, you know, normally if you're walking back and forth, it's like, oh, it just, everything feels like it's all, like, cramped and claustrophobic. Or if you have a vehicle and you can drive fast between long distance, like, okay, this is a large world, I'm going places. So
I definitely see the benefits. It just, for me personally, I just would rather cap people in the face.
Yeah,
the cars have,
you
want to
save on fossil fuels. You're doing it for the environment.
I feel like, well, like, take Borderlands for instance. That car was okay to drive around, but if I used the weapons on it, I felt like it was too easy.
Well, that
or just, you just run things over.
Yeah, and there's only one car for the whole entire game, which Rage does not have that. And you couldn't customize a car, really, in Borderlands.
Yeah. I am not somebody who pins my ride. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go to Orcs Must Die.
Oh, I see what Evan did there. He's going to talk about Orcs Must Die.
Punk! Tell me about this game. It looks pretty interesting. I have not played it myself, but Orcs die, I imagine.
They do.
Do they indeed?
I think Orcs should be wounded.
I think maybe.
I think it's a little bit too harsh. Just
no.
I don't think they must die. They should be wounded.
An interesting distinction, Dan. So, Orcs Must Die, it's going to be $15 on Steam, coming out next Tuesday the 12th. From the guy, it's the first game from Robot Entertainment.
Well, they
worked on Age of Empires.
Yeah,
Online.
The first one they've finished.
Yes.
Actually, it's kind of funny, because when I start up Orcs Must Die, like, the font and everything, like, I just have, like, Age of Empires Online flashback.
Oh, yeah.
Is it's, like, the exact same presentation to it.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were telling me at E3, I think, all the art that's in Age of Empires Online is basically theirs.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they passed it off to Gas-Powered Games, and most of what they have done is to just expand on the content and, you know, create more missions, create more items, and, you know, balance patches.
So Orcs Must Die, if you haven't heard us talk about it before on the podcast, it's like a wave-based horde mode game, but there's a tower defense element in that you're setting traps. So you're in these dungeons that have a path, like there's a door the orcs bust through, and they have to get to it's like a portal at the end of the level, and say, like, you lose the level if three orcs get through there, or five of them, it depends.
If you've played Sanctum, it's similar in concept to that.
So what you can do is you can place different traps on the floor. There's, like, all these different combinations. There's tar pits, there's spikes, there's, like, swinging blades, there's arrow walls, there's Explosive barrels, and there are a couple other like melee and magical items. You have like a wind belt, for example, that can just push enemies. Like with a gust of wind, you can pick up an individual enemy by using magic power. Your default weapon is a crossbow, and you get like headshots with that. So it's a combination of like what I like about it is like, I mean, you're setting these traps. You're sort of building this machine or this like really malicious car wash to warn the enemies through. Just clean
crafting
the
demise.
Clean the level. But you also have control of, like, oh, there's a flaw in my system. A couple of them got through. I'm just going to kill those guys by hand. So it's these nice, like, highs and lows of, like, seeing them die. Like, you're getting stuff. You're getting gold. You're getting combos. You get more points. They're, like, it's very much a leaderboard game, I think. They're going to want to compete with your friends.
I would like to point out that that the orcs do die if you shoot them in the head.
They absolutely do. So, I mean, for me, it's... I just love that it's an action game more so than a strategy game. It's fast-paced. They're coming right at you. They're shooting you. You can die. You know, like, it's really active and playful. And the main character is kind of like, I don't know, he's kind of like Charlie Sheen. If Charlie Sheen was some sort of like...
A warlock?
War mage, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got a really great art style. It's very very similar to the Age of Empire. Mm-hmm. Age of Empires Online.
A little
cartoon
torchlighty.
A little bit.
The color palette.
And you know, it just makes it kind of fun, as opposed to like a grim and serious, you know, giant like Lord of the Rings style orcs coming at you, which you know I like both atmospheres, but I think for this type of game, a little bit of humor, especially given the nature of these traps, which you know they have like springboard traps, you can launch the orcs just kind of blindly charge forward, they don't have any real sense of self-preservation. So they'll run right over these traps and just get launched. You can launch them into like a pit of lava, or you can launch them into another one of your own traps.
Yeah.
The sword's alternate attack is pushes everybody back, so you can knock them back into a spike wall or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot of like and like you were saying, you know, the interaction that you can have personally. It's a little bit more satisfying than your typical tower defense.
I mean, you have a lot of agency, right? It's not like a clockworker type thing where you wind up this toy or this machine and just let it go and see how it runs. You're getting in there as it's happening and solving problems.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed that there is no co-op.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, they made a $15 game, you know, for the scale of what it is. It seemed like too ambitious. They would have to really design levels to accommodate that. It would be a much bigger deal.
Right.
They
wanna
I expect
that it may follow a similar pattern to what Torchlight did. They put out this great game that caught on, sold like wildfire, and now Torchlight 2 has multiplayer. So if Orcs Must Die does as well as we all hope it does, and it's already out on Xbox. It got like a week's head start on Xbox, and it's getting rave reviews on Xbox. So if it sells well, I would hope and expect to see a Orcs Must Die 2 with co-op.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, Evan, your leaderboard scores are not safe.
We shall see.
Are these short session games, like 15 minutes, 20 minutes? Or?
Yeah, 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay, each level is about that long.
Although I expect as we get higher up, they'll probably get tougher because there are more waves that come at you. But the early levels, 10 to 15 minutes.
Okay, excellent. I'm going to briefly talk about the Neverwinter MMO. It went free-to-play. This week, or they made the announcement that they're going for more of a free-to-play MMO model rather than an online-based multiplayer, which can be argued back and forth which is which. But
and this game is not out yet.
No, this game is not out yet. But I was really looking forward to this, and then I read some reports that this is going to be more action-based, kind of Vindictus-esque. Does anyone like D&D as much as I do?
Yes.
But I felt like I just got kicked in the nuts.
why do you have to be so vindictive?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like, and this is my personal opinion, but Cryptic consistently makes choices to alienate me in my playstyle.
You personally?
Yes. Every game nails
like a
me with something
that
like
Gavin how guy. To get Gavin
yep.
totally
I
upset.
Think it's on a board, and they just throw darts at it, and if it hits one, that's what they go with. But
yeah.
This is Cryptic, the developer of
Star Trek Online, Champions. Yeah, Warhammer, stuff like that. So
They didn't do Warhammer.
Didn't
they? No, Champions
nope.
Online.
Champions Online, okay.
Mm. And they also did City of Heroes, which was their first game.
Yep.
Okay. I felt kind of miffed that they're going to go that route rather than the turn-based kind of action that I remember from that, and I was disappointed.
I don't think they ever were talking about doing a turn-based game. I mean, it was always going to be, I'm pretty sure they're
straight dungeon crawl kind of thing?
Well, they didn't, when they announced it, it was going to be a co-op dungeon crawl, kind of Guild Wars style. I don't think they ever...
Maybe I was just misled by my imagination.
You haven't been reading PC Gamer close enough. That's your problem.
All right.
But you know, and you know, it was never, I don't think, going to be that style of like Neverwinter Nights style. It's the Neverwinter universe, but it is not otherwise related to Neverwinter Nights.
Okay. Sad day.
I mean, but just real quick, have you played like D&D, like the new one? Is it 5th edition? Is that the newest
it's
one?
Fourth edition.
Fourth edition.
Fourth
it's
edition.
Like,
I hear it's more action-y.
Yeah, it's Magic the Gathering, but like we'll make it Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh really?
Oh, it's fun.
I have not.
Well,
I've actually
we all
not
know how much Chris hates Magic the Gathering.
No, but I love that game when it's that game. You see. Uh-huh. Don't get my Magic the Gathering in my D&D, Dan.
Don't right. tread on me.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry, my mini.
No, I've heard a lot of hate for it, though.
For which?
It's mostly just,
for the fourth.
No,
edition.
Evan's right. It's just hate because it's different. And damn it, no.
No, I agree.
Nothing needs.
Didn't keep Beauty and the Beast teach you anything, Chris?
No, I never saw it.
We
talked about Beauty and the Nerd last night, though.
We did.
Yeah.
With our,
I thought it was Beauty and the Geek.
Oh. That would make a lot more sense. Yeah,
holy crap, why did I actually know that?
Because you were here when Norm Chan
that's
tried
right.
out for
it. Norm told me. I have never actually watched that show.
Yeah.
Very good.
I'm very defensive about it.
Sorry.
Ashton Kutcher production.
Yeah. I never have and never will.
Very good.
Massive aside, my bad.
All right, so PC Gamer Digital, we just got our...
Can we talk about hats?
Yeah, let's talk about
nice.
Hats. Do you want to
talk
about hats?
Hats
do you
wanna, baby. Let's talk
do you want to take away the sexiness that is that killer exclusive?
Absolutely. So we have a TF2 hat, guys.
We do?
That's pretty cool. Yeah, we mentioned it a little bit last week.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's called the Killer Exclusive. It's a press hat. It's like a tan fedora. I think it looks good on every class. And you can put it on any class in Team Fortress 2.
Yep.
I think it looks good in the puddle of what was my class.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, for the time being, PC Gamer Digital is only available in the United States, unfortunately. We're really working hard to make that not the case. Hopefully, we'll have news next week or the week after about, you know, a further distribution for Europe and Canada and things like that, and we will let you guys know as soon as possible. But for the time being, and you know, indefinitely in the future, if you buy Episode 1 of PC Gamer Digital, you will get the Killer Exclusive for free.
Yeah.
For free, and if you just want to buy Episode 2, you'll also get it.
Right.
Added to your Team Fortress 2 account. So, in genuine quality by Team Fortress 2 standards, which is like a green
it's
item.
It's authentic.
Makes it special. It means you didn't craft it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And I'm not trying to be biased here, but I do think it is one of the better looking hats because it fits on nearly everyone.
Yeah.
I really like it.
I think so. I think it looks great on Scout. Scout looks like somebody who would hold a notepad and look at you.
Yeah.
You.
Ask the tough questions.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
slapping their bat in their hand.
If you like hats, it's another reason to check out what we're up to. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Very cool. So would we like to do some truthity and falseness?
Is that how that goes?
Absolutely.
Yes, this is how it goes.
Okay. It's weird sounding, but all right. Sure.
So we'll start with Dan. Narration makes for a better story.
Oh, as opposed to no narration?
Yeah.
Or dialogue.
So, we have to have the other category here. So are we talking about like full motion video?
I'm talking
cinematics?
If somebody is talking about the story that you're playing through, talking you through it. Let's say Bastion.
Right.
Is a better way to present a story than, let's say, you just running through.
I will say false. They both have their strengths and weaknesses. Certain... I mean, if... So, you mean, like, if I were playing Bastion where there was no narration whatsoever?
Yeah, would you think it would be better without the guy talking?
No, because there would be no story.
Well, the story is you fighting through everything.
That's not a story.
That's like every other game.
No, it's not. The other games have people talking. You know, I will go up and talk to an NPC, and he will explain to me what's going on. Or there will be an intro movie that.
But that's not the main character narrating it. Is that what you mean?
No, I mean somebody narrating.
Well, I don't. I mean
an overall narrator.
I think that it worked spectacularly well in Bastion, but I think there are other approaches that are equally good. And, you know, if you want to look at whether narration versus no narration is better, just watch the two versions of Blade Runner and tell me which one's better. The one where Harrison Ford sounds like he's reading the narration at gunpoint.
Probably because he was.
Yeah. Or the one where you can actually figure things out for yourself. I would go with the latter in that particular case.
All right. I would have to go definitely false on this one as well. I liked Bastion for it, but overall, I just think people talking to me while I play a game is the most irritating thing ever. I just want them to shut up and let me hit some stuff for a while. Let me make my own story.
And that's
driving.
Why you play
and
MMOs.
Definitely no cars.
What about if a car were talking to you while you were playing a game?
Oh,
You would hate a Knight Rider
game.
Herbie?
I quit.
Herbie the MMO?
Herbie didn't talk. Herbie honked.
Oh.
Close enough. Evan, how do you feel?
I don't really have any personal investment in this, but I'm going to say true because how much Gears of War have you guys played?
A little bit.
One and two.
Enough to never play it again.
Halfway the first
Space Marine. So there's this trope that's sort of arisen out of Gears of War where, like as a sort of a intermission between levels, your character will stop sprinting. You can't run. You have to walk. He'll put his finger in his ear, and he'll talk to somebody on radio, and you're out of combat. And it's like, here I am walking, and there's exposition happening. Walk, walk, walk. Talk, talk, talk. Walk, talk. Same thing happens in Space Marine now and then.
Yeah, that's not narration, though, is it?
It's not.
Yeah.
But it's, I'm saying that like
I prefer narration over that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's such a bad trope. It's so awkward. It's like here's a time in which the story is being told.
Mm, yeah.
But for some reason, I'm still in the game engine instead. Like this could easily be a cutscene, be more entertaining. But we didn't have the budget for it. I don't know. It's awkward. And I want that to go away.
All right.
Can you restate the statement?
Narration makes for a better story.
I think true in a sense of a PC game, if you use it cohesively. Like, you know, in Bioshock, there was literally a minute of narration from the main character.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? They were right. You never heard from him again. Okay. Like, that was the only time your dude spoke. Like, it was like, why did they narrate for, like, I thought the whole game was going to be narrated.
That wasn't narration either.
Yeah, it was. It was directly the guy who is.
It was Jack, right?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. So
when he's on the
plane. When he's on the plane, the very beginning.
Right.
So it's like, obviously, he's talking about the game, like, outside of it, like, and then he never talks again in the whole goddamn game. That makes no sense.
Well, silent protagonist is a separate question.
But he wasn't silent. He talked.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like Gordon Freeman saying one sentence.
Right. But I think a better example of narration would be like Max Payne.
Yeah.
Yes.
I prefer that, especially with what everyone. So, yeah, I'm going to go with true, actually. I think.
Oh, man. Okay. They just revealed that Max Payne 3 has a cover system.
I don't understand the rage against cover systems.
Cover systems.
Is there a cover from cover systems?
Yeah. Okay. It's called, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I actually don't care.
That makes me think like cover system. Dental plan. Cover system. Dental plan.
I don't know,
bullseye.
As long as it's not the same exact cover system every time, and it rarely is. I mean, except for people ripping off Gears of War every 15
seconds. Every game.
God, well, you know it's going to be the Grand Theft Auto tech, though, which is awkward.
But I mean, you look at the cover system in Fear 3, which was actually pretty good. Or, I don't know, what's another recent cover shooter?
Deus Ex.
Yeah, Deus Ex. Pretty good. You know, no problem with that.
Can I answer somewhere in the middle? Because two of the best stories
Black
I've
or
played
white.
Through.
Binary.
Gray.
No.
All right, Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, and Diablo 2 were both, like, one of the central plot characters flashing back to all the events of the game. Mm-hmm. And that's cool because it's being narrated, but it's not narrated by, like, someone outside the events of the game.
So you like it when the main character is doing storytelling.
Yeah, it's just, I'm fine with that. All right. But if it's, like, well, I haven't played Bastion. I'm so sorry. So sorry, Kevin. Please don't kill me. But it seems kind of like a gimmick. It's not that cool.
It is a gimmick, but it really adds a lot of unique character to that game because there are, I don't know if there has been another game that does it in the same way, because as you're walking through, like as you do something, so you pick up a sword. It's like and it says the kid picks up a sword, and then you know, and you
it's
go
responsive.
Break stuff.
Responsive,
right? So it's actually talking as you're doing stuff, which is very different from the way most games have been narrated thus far.
I guess so. I mean, it's more like the guy just repeats what you do.
Sort of, kind of, but he adds color commentary as well, and he'll tell you about the sword, or he'll tell you about the enemy that you're fighting.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. All right, so playing defense sucks. True or false?
This is a good one. I like this question. I mean, it totally depends on the game. I mean, like defense and offense are going to vary. No, I'm going to say false. I think there's pride in defense. I think there's, I mean, you think about TF2, about Counter-Strike has some asymmetrical maps, you know, classic shooters. I love asymmetry in shooters, and I think it's great. Good things can arise out of that, obviously.
Chris?
What?
Playing defense sucks.
No, I know. I'm screwing with you. Yeah, false. I actually prefer playing defense, especially in TF2. I don't know why. Maybe just because, like, the heavy class. Well, now you can be offensive. I don't know. I just like sitting back and waiting people to come into my line of fire. I find that because I'm just strategically horrible, maybe. So it's like, easy, shoot stuff, come in way. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm all for a little defense.
Okay.
Defense.
I will say true. When your team is so good that no one ever reaches, like,
what
the
is back
fence
the sitting when stuff?
Well, the first thing I think of when you ask that is all those times in Warcraft 3 where I had to, like, sit in my base and just wait to die because I could defend them in my base but couldn't ever expand out. And that is just torturous. So, yeah, defending kind of sucks.
All right. Dan?
I will say false with the caveat that, you know, it's no more prone to sucking than offense is if offense is poorly designed. And you always have to have something to do on defense. If you're just sitting there doing nothing, then yeah, it sucks. But likewise, if you're on offense and you have nothing to do, that sucks. So it's just a matter of how well the game is designed to flow.
Hmm. All right. The first thing I think about when I think about this question is actually World of Warcraft's Arathi Basin. And I have a resounding yes. It is terrible to just sit on a point and watch everyone be like, go to this. And you're just like playing with crickets. It's terrible. So in an MMO sense, I've always hated defense. Defense is just terrible. But then again, the healers, fun to play. And that's kind of defense.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. I mean, like Team Fortress 2 does a pretty good job of giving you things to do. Engineers can build things. Medics can always be healing people. Pyros can be looking for spies.
Yeah, definitely.
Spies can be cheating as usual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hate this. Jerks. All right, the last one I have is, in a cash shop, consumables are a better purchase than full zones. Like if you're in a, this may be too MMO centric.
I have no idea.
I'm going to say emphatically false. That is awful, awful stuff. Anything that makes you keep paying to maintain a enjoyable level of play, is terrible. I much prefer the approach where you purchase content and that is then yours forever.
That's true.
I don't like rental systems. I don't like, I have to buy a potion that restores respawns me without massive penalties. I don't like any of that crap. I won't like. Okay, give me an area that I can play for free, and then I can let me buy a new character class. Let me buy an access to a high level area, but don't make me pay. Don't make me feel like I have to play right now, or what I paid for goes away.
Yeah. I definitely feel like it's a choice between paying when I want to have fun or when I need more fun, as opposed to paying to maintain my fun.
I need more fun.
I hate buying inventory crap and consumable potions and stuff for buffs. That drives me insane. But if I reach the end of content and I need some more, I'm more than happy to lay down $10 for the next zone and give me, five more hours of great experience.
Right,
so.
It's a micro expansion model as opposed to a rental model.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's the same kind of thing that League of Legends does.
Yeah.
Where you buy a champion and that champion is yours.
Mm-hmm.
That is how it ought to be in every game.
Yeah.
I second Dan's opinion.
Chris?
Huh. Yeah, I think I'm with Dan in this one, so I'll go True. Wait. No.
False.
Yes. False. For the same reason. I don't like the rental system either, I guess. And I feel like if I'm going to pay for something, I want to be able to keep it. I want to be able to basically have it forever. And I want it to be substantive. So substantial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm with Dan.
Be a Rep 11.
No.
Forfed. Yes.
Let's move on to playlist. What have we been playing? Lucas.
I gotta say, I talked a little bit about Binding of Isaac on last week's podcast.
Boo.
Yes.
What is
I'll
it?
I'll fight you to the death. All right, basically, Dungeons of Dreadmore meets Legend of Zelda.
That game.
Yeah. That game, oh, yes, no. With the art of Super Meat Boy. Now, this game is legit. Because
yes,
I didn't buy it. I saw Gavin playing
you
it.
You stole it.
And I was like, this game looks, you know, okay. But the more I watched Gavin, the more I wished I was the one playing. So I went ahead and bought it for a measly $5.
Yeah.
And it is awesome. I think I must have started. It's the same like Dungeons of Dreadmore, where if you die, that's it. Your character just evaporates.
Yeah.
And there's no like progression other than you beat the game multiple times, but every time you do, the levels expand, and there's a harder boss at the end. So I think I've played it at least 30 times, and I've beaten it like twice. And it is a great game.
Yeah.
There are so many items to pick up. It's just
but Evan's
rad.
A hater.
Like I don't get... I don't understand. Explain this to me, Evan. You like Dungeons of Dreadmore.
Yeah.
But you hate Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
They're pretty straightforward. Yeah.
What don't you understand about that? It couldn't be any more clear.
I'm a Peebo person, damn it.
What the hell is wrong with you? What is that from?
Office Space.
Oh, I mean, they're very different games to me, Lucas. I mean, one is real-time, one's turn-based. That's really fundamental.
But I just don't know how anyone can hate the gameplay of Legend of Zelda.
One is designed by somebody that like wanted to tell a strange Bible story, like that was
that
was a commentary. And the other one was designed by people who read a lot of Lovecraft, and I can get behind the latter.
Well, like Binding of Isaac, isn't a dude like he's like a little cherub or something? He's like in a
they're
diaper.
They're not being serious like at
oh,
all
I know.
With the story.
It's not the entire focus of things, but
and I would say that there's more like humor made at the expense of religion, because they're like sometimes when you beat a boss, you can make a deal with the devil. So you pay in health to get, like, crazy upgrades. And all the endings are, like, just bizarre ways of explaining the story.
I admit I'm intrigued that, like, there is this sort of new game plus approach that things expand or get harder when you win. That's cool. I didn't know that. I guess, I mean, for me, like, Isaac, when you melt down the mechanics, it's asteroids in a very contained room. Over and 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 over again. Like, you enter a room, you have to kill things in there, and you can shoot north, south, east, west, and move north, south, east, west. And your enemies basically do the same thing. And they take X amount of hits, and you do it again. You get something, do it again.
This is a good point made by Jonathan Cooper. Isn't every game
I feel like you just described Dungeons of Dreadmore as well.
But it's... difference there is the sense of accumulation, like... how intricate things are. I have stats in Dreadmore. It's more of an RPG.
You do in Binding of Isaac as well. There's like penetration of shots, how much damage they do, how fast you go, and how fast you shoot.
Okay. Those feel like more like ratings to me than like things like luck, you know, detection.
That's true.
Those kind of mechanics that are much more RPG-like. I mean, Dreadmore is a dungeon game. You know, in the sense that there are traps, there are rooms, there are treasure chests. I don't know.
Yeah, they're so very similar.
The argument. There's more attention to detail of depth.
See, Gavin is the expert on this because he's played both, and we haven't seen eye to eye.
I can see that there's definitely more depth in Dreadmore, and I do like the turn-based, but I feel like this is the action version of it, and it's got Super Meat Boy graphics. Amazing! And you can sell me on visuals. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I want to monopolize our playlist, but that's how I feel, Dan. And Chris?
Chris, yeah.
Wow, I've actually been playing quite a bit of stuff. Rage, I actually did play a little bit of hard reset, like half hour. Super Metroid.
Oh,
by the way,
I'm playing a genius.
Playing a freak ton of Super Metroid. legally, of course.
Did you get the Varia suit?
Yeah, you get the Varia. Is it? I would call it Varia.
Oh.
But that's me, which apparently I missed.
Varia Carey.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Gosh, what else? Rage, obviously. Man, I literally have been playing so many games that like I can't remember what the hell games I've been playing. But those were the main ones, I think. Deus Ex still on and off.
What approach are you taking in Deus Ex?
I kill everything.
Yeah.
I've invested all my points into hacking. Like, nothing in the combat. Like, literally, I've invested, I think, 14 praxis points total.
So you're hacking everybody to death?
Yeah, pretty much. Right. So it's all hacking-based. But, I'd kill everybody and everything.
I wonder how deep that game would be if you just skipped hacking altogether. If it would
It'd be extremely difficult. Like,
all gunner, no hacking?
There is you have to do some hacking.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some places you are forced to hack.
Yeah, the level one.
But level one, yeah.
Yeah. So actually, my guy's more of like, I kill all the bad guys. Like I went to the cop station and just used non-lethal force. Just like the beginning of The Rock. But yeah, that was it for me.
Sweet. I've been playing Orcs Must Die. I mentioned that. But I've been spending a lot of my gaming time modding Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah.
For some upcoming stuff for PC Gamer Digital that I think we're going to have a blast with.
It's pretty awesome.
So, I mean, we're all you guys have been peeking at this week, but for listeners, you guys have probably heard of that like frictionless car mod that like was all over YouTube a few months ago, where basically people edit a data file in Grand Theft Auto 4 that, you know, when cars accelerate, it just reduces the friction dramatically. So when they do, they kind of like just fly out of control, they're in the air, they're bouncing off walls.
Yeah.
Anytime the tires are touching the ground, basically.
The whole world goes mad.
So, yeah, I mean, Liberty City kind of becomes a swirling maelstrom of automotive death.
it's like there's a monster off screen kicking cars at you.
And it's just so deeply entertaining. I mean, like, the stuff that I've been playing with it for a few days, and what most impresses me is how authentically the pedestrians and like, the citizens react to what is a totally unnatural situation for the game. Cars exploding. Like cars just all over the place in the air, crashing, like clipping through walls and surfaces, clipping through the ground like they're sharks sometimes. That happens. And they'll say things and they'll react and they'll run and they'll cry and they react so organically despite this being just a tweak I made to some values in the game.
Yeah.
And yet you never show them mercy.
I don't. So I'm having fun, like, God. I'm convinced that game has the best animation system in any emergent animation system. Like,
it uses what was it called? Like Essence, something like that. There's
Euphoria or something.
Yeah, Euphoria. That's right. The Euphoria animation engine. They also used it in that Backbreaker game that never came out on PC, but it's like a football game where just all kinds of absurd animations of people getting tackled. And they used it in The Force Unleashed for like the stormtroopers as they're getting picked up and thrown around.
Right.
And it really is. It adds so much to the game when they act like real people would when they get hit by a car.
There's so much nuance. I mean,
yeah,
it's like every body part seems to have the right amount of weight, the way joints turn, things like that. It's just very natural, and it really adds to that. You know, that experience when you get just destroyed by a pickup truck, and you fly across the map and you're doing cartwheels. You know.
Yeah,
I mean it has. I forget where I was going with that. Crap.
I'm sure it was awesome.
There again. So anyway, you'll look forward to seeing that in a future episode of PC Gamer Digital as well.
Yeah.
Carmageddon.
Oh, did you get that thing working where you were making the cops love prostitutes or something?
I did change that value in game too. Yeah. So like, yeah, every faction has like a certain, you know, what do you call it?
Affinity.
Like, yeah, affinity between one another. So you know, cops like firemen and things like that, like they get along, they don't fight each other in the streets or insult each other. Turns out you can change those things. So you can make women hate other civilian women, or you know, so on and so forth.
Can you make different races hate each other?
Whoa.
I can make different gang. I can make all the gangs love each other as opposed to hating each other. Things like that.
It's quite nice.
You can create world peace.
I can change the world with editing one data file.
Make world peace and then throw a tornado of cars in the middle. All right, well, for me, I've been was playing a lot of single-player games for a while, but I got back into MMOs. So I've been playing around in Rift again, and what has been surprisingly enjoyable, LEGO Universe. That game is a lot of fun. Building stuff, just stabbing things as a LEGO guy is great. And
with that butter knife?
Yeah, yeah, essentially. The butter knife sword and spear and shield. And there's a lot of fun activities. With Josh Augustine, I've been grouping up and doing some stuff, and I love it. It's like playing with my childhood. It's great.
Ew.
Sounds kind of dirty, isn't it?
Wow.
It's free to play now as well, right?
Yes, yep. It has free to play. You jump in. You can choose your own name, but you don't have a custom name, if that makes sense. Hmm. You choose from a list of multiple things. You can be like Garlic Surfer Wizard or something.
Yeah. They don't want you to become you know, Butt Wizard.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's the first zone, which is relatively huge, that I've seen thus far. And then after that, you have to play a premium to get beyond that. But a lot of fun. Enjoying it. The only complaint I have about it is the chat filter is super aggressive, which makes it amazing for a family game. This is a great game for kids. But when you're two adults talking back and forth each other about how you just got destroyed by something, makes it a little hard to express yourself.
Yeah, that actually reminds me of the Age of Empires Online chat filter, mm-hmm. which until you turn, you can turn everything off. You can turn all the filters off, but it wouldn't let you say, "But it's," like I was going to attack that, but it's too heavily defended.
Yep.
It would blank out "But it's" because it thinks you're trying to say tits.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one you can't say numbers, any numbers. I think it's so you can't rate each other. And I also tried to call myself the weakest link in our party, but it would only let me say I'm a weaker link. Don't understand it. It's really bizarre.
Because you're not the weakest. You know, it's like you're not the bottom.
Wait, wow. Why wouldn't? What do you mean? Like,
like
rate
the universe
each
is like
other?
Turn that frown upside down. Yeah.
I think it's so that you can't say, you know. Well, I really don't get the numbers one. I'm just trying to rationalize why they would make that decision. But weakest, it's so they can't say, you're the weakest player we have. It's impossible to insult somebody in that game. In a way that...
This is some 1984
shit. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's like they went to a preschool, grabbed all those like cat sat on rug books, and anything that was in those books was okay. Anything bigger than those words was absolutely not.
I mean, honestly, that's so Orwellian. If you want to think about it that way, like they're removing words.
Yeah. Yes. Newspeak.
Use voice chat. That's all I'm saying.
Can you tell people that they're double plus on good?
Exactly.
Possibly.
Everything
I've not tested that. So Dan, how about yourself?
Well, there has been a little bit of Age of Empires Online. I do find that it keeps drawing me back in, just to play, you know, a defense mission or whatever. Some of them are massively frustrating because some of these missions, I'm at like level 30 now, mm-hmm. And some of the missions I encounter are just brutal, absolutely brutal, and I am kind of OCD about that, so I just have to beat it. And there was one mission that I, you know, played like 30 times, but finally figured out how to beat, and that was very satisfying. But some of them, like a couple missions, just seem broken because of how hard they are.
Are they so difficult just because there's nothing to do past those missions?
Well, I mean, there's as much to do in those missions as in any RTS mission, and there are a bunch that are repeatable, and you know, you keep killing, you know, enemy bases, and you get loot from chests that are around there, and you gain gold, and you can actually use those to buy more chests. And you know, there's a crafting system and everything. So there's stuff to do, you know, as much as there is to do in most online games. I'm looking forward to the Persians coming out. They finally added them as a, you know, coming soon thing instead of just a silhouette. Also playing Rage, also playing Deus Ex, also playing Orcs Must Die. So yeah, I'm spread pretty thin right now. And like I have kind of let my Deus Ex momentum die on me. And part of that is just because I made it so hard for myself because I've been going through stealthy and non-lethal.
Yeah.
And
same here.
And like reloading whenever I mess up, which is often. So my progress has been so slow that I've already played probably 20 some hours of it, and I haven't even gotten to the second boss.
Yeah.
And Like, there's so many other shiny things that I want to play with. So I will finish it. I hereby vow that I will finish it. But I have lost momentum there.
Yeah.
Sweet.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for joining me on the show. As always, thanks to the listeners for listening. And we remind you to send us your thoughts, questions, and sweet nothings in MP3 format to PCGamerPodcast@gmail.com. Or you can call us toll-free at 877-404-1337, extension 724, to record your question there. If you're already a subscriber to our fine magazine, we encourage you to become one, or aren't already. That's terrible. Just head over to PCGamer.com, fill out our fancy subscription form, and we'll be happy to send you a magazine. If you're looking for digital, you can find us on Steam right now. Just look up PC Gamer Digital there.
True.
Two excellent episodes plus.
Episode 3 coming next Tuesday, October 12th.
And it's a goodie.
There is some armor in there.
Yeah.
Yes. Some excellent armor.
A little bit of armor.
a spot of armor.
Yeah. But a not Chris's right. British accent.
No. Luckily, no.
All right, guys.
Closing time.
Bye.